The book of Ezra, reading from the very beginning of chapter 7. After these events, during the reign of King Artaxerxes of Persia, Ezra, Sariah's son, Azariah's son, Hilkiah's son, Shallum's son, Zadok's son, Ahitob's son, Amariah's son, Azariah's son, Merioth's son, Zeriah's son, Uzzi's son, Bucky's son, Abishua's son, Phinehas's son, Eleazar's son, Aaron, the chief priest's son, came up from Babylon. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he requested because the hand of the Lord his God was on him. Some of the Israelites, priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, and temple servants accompanied him to Jerusalem in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes. Ezra came to Jerusalem in the 5th month during the 7th year of the king. He began the journey from Babylon on the 1st day of the 1st month and arrived in Jerusalem on the 1st day of the 5th month. The gracious hand of his God was on him, because Ezra had determined in his heart to study the law of the Lord, obey it, and teach its statutes and ordinances in Israel. This is the text of the letter King Artaxerxes gave to Ezra the priest and scribe, an expert in matters of the Lord's commandments and statutes for Israel. Artaxerxes, King of Kings, to Ezra the priest, an expert in the law of the God of heaven. Greetings. I issue a decree that any of the Israelites in my kingdom, including their priests and Levites, who want to go to Jerusalem, may go with you. You are sent by the king and his 7 counselors to evaluate Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of your God, which is in your possession. You are also to bring the silver and the gold the king and his counselors have willingly given to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, and all the silver and gold you receive throughout the province of Babylon, together with the freewill offerings given by the people and the priests to the house of their God in Jerusalem. Then you are to buy with this money as many bulls, rams, and lambs as needed, along with their grain and drink offerings, and offer them on the altar at the house of your God in Jerusalem. You may do whatever seems best to you and your brothers with the rest of the silver and the gold according to the will of your God. You must deliver to the God of Jerusalem all the articles given to you for the service of the house of your God. You may use the royal treasury to pay for anything else you have to supply to meet the needs of the house of your God. I, King Artaxerxes, issue a decree to all the treasurers in the region west of the Euphrates River. Whatever Ezra the priest, an expert in the law of the God of heaven, asks of you must be provided promptly. Up to, and there follows a list, and salt without limit. Verse 23, whatever is commanded by the God of heaven must be done diligently for the house of the God of heaven, so that wrath will not fall on the realm of the king and his sons. And then just 3 verses over in chapter 8. Verse 21, I proclaimed a fast by the Ahava River, so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us, for our children and all our possessions. I did this because I was ashamed to ask the king for infantry and cavalry to protect us from enemies during the journey, since we had told him, the hand of our God is gracious to all who seek him, but his great anger is against all who abandon him. So we fasted and pleaded with our God about this, and he granted our request. Well, the incident that we have read marks a significant time for Ezra and for those exiles that went up with him back to Jerusalem. The foundation of the temple had been laid again. You'll find that in chapter 3 and verse 10. And the temple itself had been completed. Chapter 6 and verse 15. It reads, "And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king." That happened in 516 BC. So the next stage in the restoration of the people of God from exile to the land and to further God's purposes for them in that land was about to begin. And we read of this significant time, chapter 7 and verse 9. "The first day of the first month, they began to go up from Babylon." For Bethel Christian Assembly, as we had our week of prayer this last week, we prayed for three nights, consecutive nights, and once in the daytime as well, meeting together. A good number came. May the Lord bless you for coming. For Bethel Christian Assembly, as we sought the Lord during this week, I think we sensed that this was a significant time for us as well. Just as Ezra and the people were going up to Jerusalem and they were beginning to journey, so for us as a church here, the Lord is wanting to take us on. And during the course of this message today, I'm going to share something of some of the things that the Lord laid on our hearts as we sought him during this week, so that we, all of us at Bethel Christian Assembly, know how the Lord has been leading us. Because God wants us to move forward. I want to go further than that, however, and suggest to you that 2017, for the United Kingdom, and I should think probably for many nations during the world, in the world, is also going to be a significant time, as we see something of the shaking that God promises will happen in the time just prior to his return. However, you may not be either British, you may not be a member of Bethel Christian Assembly. But for you as an individual, this time may be significant to you. I mean, the whole picture of a journey is very significant in the scriptures, isn't it? Here is Ezra and those who are with him, and they were going to have to leave behind that which with which they were familiar, that with which they were comfortable, but nevertheless, that which was not the ultimate purpose of God for their lives. And God was going to call them to go up from Babylon and to begin this journey through dangers that they couldn't foresee to a future that they had some idea about, but by and large was unknown. And if you read through the whole of the scriptures, this picture or the matter of making a journey from somewhere to somewhere else is always significant. I mean, you've only got to think of Abraham. God says to him, "Leave your kindred, leave your father's house to a place I will show you in my own good time." It doesn't say that, but that's what the Lord means, really. So he had to leave the comfort of where he was to a place, to a land he didn't know where. You can look similarly at Jacob. You can look at Moses and the people of Israel coming up out of Egypt to a land through the wilderness, through the dangers that they had to face there. When it comes to the New Testament, just think of the words of the Lord Jesus. And for any of you who would call yourself disciples of the Lord Jesus, I would remind you of these words in Luke 14, verse 33. It says, "So any of you who follow me, unless you forsake everything that you have, you cannot be my disciple." Now, friends, that is what the Lord calls us to be. Our discipleship is dependent on our willingness to go on a journey, our willingness to forsake, our willingness to leave certain things behind, and our willingness to go on this journey with the Lord Jesus through the dangers, through the challenges, facing those challenges, to a place and to a future that maybe we do not know. And yet, of course, we know that the Lord has promised to all those who are willing to forsake, he gives houses, mothers, fathers, wives, I can't remember the list, but he does promise tremendous blessing to all those who are willing to follow him. Maybe for some of you, as individuals, you haven't started on that journey yet. You don't proclaim. You don't feel that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus. You don't feel that you're following him. That is fine, but God is calling you to start that journey. Think of, can I remind you of when John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus, and he began to preach, and his message was to repent, and the people had to come out from where they were and go out to meet him. That is always what God calls us to do if we're going to repent. God calls every one of us, believer and non-believer alike, to repent, which means basically to change our attitude and to be willing to change our behaviour. So God is calling you, if you don't know the Lord, to start on that journey. Go out to meet him. Be willing to leave the comfort of what you're familiar with. Your own life. You have no idea the blessings that God has in store for every one of us if we're willing to go up from where we are, and to make that journey. Well, friends, all that is really by way of introduction, because what I want to do this morning is to look at the preparation that is needed for this journey. We're going to look at the purpose of this decree that King Artaxerxes made, and we're going to look at the response to that decree, and then fourthly the result. So fasten your safety belts. The preparation of heart is vital. Now friends, I think you can take encouragement from this. You may not feel that you've been part of perhaps what God is doing, or what you feel God is doing. Ezra might have felt that. His genealogy was that he was Aaron's, he was of the tribe of Aaron, he was of the family of Aaron, the high priestly tribe. And yet there he was, stuck in Babylon, effectively doing what? Well, of course, he would have been teaching the people and he would have been worshipping, etc. But he was outside of God's purposes for him. What is more, there had already gone up a group of Jewish exiles from Babylon to build the temple, to lay that foundation and to complete it. And he was not part of it. And yet there came a time when God had prepared him to go up, and with all the future that that was going to involve. Did he waste the time? No, he didn't. Look at the preparation, chapter 7 and verse 10. It says God, it says Ezra had prepared his heart. Ezra had determined in his heart. Your version may have said he had fixed his heart to study the law of the Lord. And for every one of you, really, essentially, God is calling us to fix our hearts on following the Lord and all that that involves. Yes, a very much an important part of that is getting to know the scriptures for yourself, learning to study the word. Gentlemen, please remember that Search the Scriptures weekend. Learning to study the word. Learning then to do it, so that then you are in a position to be able to teach it. But it applies more widely than just getting to know the scriptures. It applies to our relationship with the Lord Jesus, who commanded us to love him, who's commanded us to follow him. Fix your heart. That's the preparation that God is looking for. Ezra knew the word. And so there came a time, because he had been willing to be prepared, when the time came, when verse 14, the king, recognizing that God's hand was on this man, sent him. And as we come to look at this decree in a minute, you'll see actually behind the king's decree is actually God himself decreeing. So I don't think I'm taking too much of a liberty by saying in verse 14, when it says, "For as much as you are sent by the king," he was sent by the Lord. He was sent by God. And every one of us can know what it is to be sent by God. But it's a vital part of that preparation. And his seven counsellors. If you're a Bible student, you might like to look at the story of Esther, which also talks about the seven counsellors of the king. And you might like also to look at the book of Revelation, which talks about the seven spirits of God, which stand before the Lord and are sent forth into all the earth. I just throw that in if you want to do some further consideration and research for yourself. And above all, the preparation, perhaps not above all, but certainly very important, chapter 7 and verse 9, it says he came to Jerusalem, the whole thing. Why? Because the good hand of the Lord was upon him. Now, friends, for us to learn, for the good hand of God to be upon us, takes time. But the hand of God needs to be on us. And if at Bethel Christian Assembly we're going to move forward with the Lord during this year, you are going to need to know the good hand of our God upon us. If as an individual you're going to make progress in your discipleship with the Lord, you need to learn that the good hand of God must be upon you. And if you don't know that, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, why not? And so that you can begin to make the necessary adjustments accordingly. So that was the preparation, at least some of it. Now, this decree was given by King Artaxerxes. The word Artaxerxes simply means the great king. I love the description. He is called the King of Kings. He was the ruler of the then known world, the Persian Empire. But you and I know a different King of Kings, don't we? God has established him, and his reign is unassailable. And what is wonderful to see in this incident is the way that God had moved in this man's heart, despite all the hiccups and the problems that had happened in the previous years, and you can read about them in the previous chapters. God had turned this man's heart now to make this decree. And what is that decree? Well, we'll look at it in just a minute, but just before we do, will you notice it says in chapter 7 and verse 12, the decree for such a time as this. At least it says it in my version. I've got two in front of me. It doesn't say it in one as far as I can see. But it says, and at such a time. Friends, at this significant time for us all, God has set his king on that holy hill of Zion. And God has made decrees and is able to make those decrees. I think you should take that as a tremendous encouragement. Well, what is God decreeing for Ezra at this time through the king's letter? Chapter 7 and verse 14, for a start, let's look at that. The Authorised Version says, for as much as you are sent to inquire of the king of Judah and Jerusalem, or the Holman Study Bible says to evaluate. And that's really what the word means. It means to inquire, but it means to inspect and therefore to evaluate. And friends, this is a very important thing that we need to do. It's not just those who are called to leadership, but we all of us need to learn to inquire in this kind of way. This is what David said in Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That means, at least it includes the meaning of wanting to see things from God's point of view. You will only be able to evaluate your own life, your church, your future, the will of God for your life as you are in the presence of God. That's why David said to inquire in his temple. And Ezra had learned to do this. And here is the king saying to Ezra and the people, now go to Jerusalem and there inquire for the well-being and for the future of Judah and Jerusalem. Inquire of the well-being for the people of God. And friends, these days there's a desperate need for believers in the Lord Jesus who are willing to make that journey in order to inquire, who understand that we need to inquire of the Lord all the days of our life. So what about you? Are you willing to make that journey? Do you see the purpose that God has for your life, which is that you begin to see things from God's point of view? That you begin to evaluate, that you begin to inspect. Paul talked about this in the New Testament, where he says, I don't judge myself. He might have said, I don't inspect myself. I don't see myself. There is one who judges me. So he was not willing to even to look at his own life through his own perspective, but rather through the perspective that God was going to give him. We need to inquire of the Lord. The second purpose that the king had in this decree was that Ezra and those who were with him should carry free will offerings, verse 15, have a look at it please, and also the vessels for the house of God. So they were going to have to be responsible on this journey for carrying a great deal of money and a great deal of furniture which was going to be used for the service of the house of God in Jerusalem. All the sacred furniture that had been built in the time of Solomon had been taken into exile. God was now going to use Ezra and give him the responsibility of carrying the whole thing, the whole of these things back. My friends, what has God entrusted into your hands? God wants you to be responsible. God wants us as a church here at Bethel to carry through this year those things that he has entrusted into our hands. And of course, in a sense, we are all vessels, aren't we? The Bible speaks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You are carrying the treasure of the knowledge of the Lord in your life. And God wants you to carry that wherever you go and be faithful in that responsibility. So that was the second purpose of the decree. The third one, chapter 7 and verse 23. I beg your pardon, I think it's a little bit later on. It's verse 27. It was to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. So although, if you like, the nuts and bolts of the goal weren't known to Ezra, the purpose that God had for him was to make the house of God beautiful, to make it glorious, to make it wonderful. And here at Bethel, friends, that was the purpose of our week of prayer, was in order for us to seek God, that there will be something glorious that emerges as a result of our walk with God this year. But friends, for you as an individual, whether you're part of Bethel or not, do you understand from this that the purpose of this journey that God wants you to go with him is for your blessing? He is interested in your well-being. He wants to make you beautiful, glorious. He wants your life to glorify God. That is the purpose for which you have been created. And he is able to do that. And then fourthly, and rather more briefly, but very important nevertheless, chapter 7 and verse 28, that blessed be the Lord who has extended mercy to me. God wants to extend mercy to you. It's all of God's mercy and of God's loving kindness. So that's the purpose, or at least something anyway. I'm only going to touch on these things really, but something of the purpose of this decree from the great king. But Artaxerxes doesn't leave it at that and says, get on with it. Our God doesn't say, get on with it. He then says in verses 21 to 23, he says, I will provide for you. So the second thing is God's provision. And look at this provision. I didn't read it all out for various reasons. But look what it says. It says, I issue a decree to all the treasurers in the region west of the Euphrates. Whatever Ezra the priest and the expert in the law of the God of heaven asks of you must be provided promptly. What is more, verse 23, whatever is commanded by the God of heaven must be done diligently for the house of the God of heaven. Friends, this is saying that our King of Kings can provide, and indeed in his Son has provided, everything that you and I need for this journey. Or in the words of 2 Peter 1, everything for life and godliness. Isn't that marvellous? This is the decree that has gone forth. You don't need to be a spiritual pauper. You don't need to be somebody who's carrying a whole load of responsibility and you think, I can't do it. God has given you the wherewithal to be able to fulfill his will for your life and to start on that journey and to get you right through to the end and to complete the purpose of God for your life this year. It can happen. The provision of God is there. So friends, what is to be our response to this? Well, before we look at Ezra, can I just remind you, please, of the word that was brought to us in the sermon last week from Max. We were looking at the story of Ahaz, and despite his faithlessness and his divided heart, God said to him, take heed, do not fear, do not be faint-hearted. And I think we can apply this here, because they were going to need protection as they went through the wilderness here in this chapter of Ezra, which we read. And the word of the Lord was to us, I believe, very much last week, amongst other things, do not fear what is going to come this year. There may be two smoking firebrands. There may be things that get stirred up. We may be tempted to panic and to fear. Do not fear. Take heed. Friends, you and I can choose not to fear. That is why the prophet said to him, take heed. You and I can choose not to panic. And a little bit later on, the prophet said, if you do not remain firm in faith, you will not be established. That's not a threat. It's simply an encouragement to us to be firm in faith. You can be firm in faith. Indeed, you must be firm in faith. Otherwise, I don't know what's going to happen to us. So friends, the first thing is, by way of response, let's remember to take heed to ourselves. And do not fear. 366 times in the Bible, you read the words, fear not. Once for every day of the year and a leap year. What else is to be our response? Chapter 7 and verses 13 to 16. I make a decree that all those of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will, to go up to Jerusalem with me. Now we read of the list of those who were going freely on that journey in verse 7. Priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, Nethinims, etc. But nobody was compelled to go. This was a free will offering, and indeed part of the offering that they had to go with financially to purchase money for offerings, etc., the sacrifices. Again, that was a free will offering. Verse 16, with the free will offering of the people. And friends, there is no compulsion with this, but the response of our hearts must be a free will offering. So can I be very specific and ask you whether you're willing to offer yourself freely? Willingly, that means. Of course, God is wanting us. It's that willing offering of our lives. So for us who are at Bethel, are you willing to offer yourself to this journey going forward this year? You could choose to mark time. Please don't, because you might be left behind. Some of us want to go on this journey. Are you willing to go on this journey? Offer yourself. Be willing to be available to the Lord. Be willing to leave the comfort of perhaps where you've got to in your spiritual life so far. Be willing to move forward with God. There are always things that need to be done. There are always responsibilities within any church assembly. There are things which we need to do by way of evangelism, by way of prayer, by way of service. And friends, nobody is going to compel you to do anything. We don't operate that way here at Bethel Christian Assembly. But we are looking to you to be willing to offer yourself. So go to the Lord and say, now Lord, I'm willing to do something. I'm willing to commit myself. Friends, as we grow in numbers, if God continues to give us growth, there's going to be always a need for people to do. Putting out the chairs on a Sunday morning. Putting them away again, please, on a Sunday morning. Helping with the coffee and the tea. Helping in the Sunday school. Well, just to name the obvious examples. And there may be things that we haven't even thought about. But as you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is my responsibility? And God will put a few things upon your heart. And you can come to the eldership and say, look, I think it would be really good if we did A, B and C. We'll pray about it. And if the Lord gives the green light for it, fine. Go ahead with it. Are you willing to offer yourself? Friends, if you don't know the Lord, let me speak to any of you who don't know the Lord, who haven't started on this journey for yourself. Are you willing to offer yourself? Are you willing to commit yourself? Yes, it's going to be into an unknown. Some of you are holding yourself back because you feel you can't trust what's going to happen in the future if you become a Christian. Friends, let me tell you, if you trust yourself into the hands of the King of Kings, you can't lose. You can't lose. God will give you everything. Whatever you feel you're going to lose, God will make it up to you big time. 100 times more. Are you willing to let go of your life? Are you willing to forsake everything and follow him? Friends, this is what God is calling you to do. And certainly whatever church you are, if you're a visitor and you come from another church, these things are vital if the purpose of God, which is restoration, is going to take place in our own land. So there needs to be that willing offering. Chapter 8 and verse 22, secondly. There needs to be a trusting in God for protection. Ezra and the people were not looking to the king to provide that protection. They had said the hand of God is for good to those that seek him. God was going to protect him. And friends, the critical thing is that if you and I remain in that place where the good hand of God remains upon us, we will be secure. We will be safe. That is the experience of Ezra, and that is the experience of all of God's people who have followed him. But his power and his wrath is against indeed all those that forsake him. And so they fasted and prayed and besought our God for this. And really this was, I suppose, verse 21 of chapter 8 was how we began the week of prayer. Because Ezra proclaimed a fast. They had to humble themselves and acknowledge that they had nothing, that they were nothing. And we felt we needed to do that on Tuesday, those of us who were there. But we also needed to seek God for that right way for us. Friends, you don't dream up the journey. You don't get out a map or a sat nav and plot your route through the wilderness. You need to seek God because it is only he who knows the way. It is only he who knows the route. It is only he who knows the pace that you can go. And it is only he that can bring you there. As well as it is only he that can protect you. So I want to issue the challenge which certainly came to us on Tuesday, but to issue it to us all, friends, that we need to humble ourselves and be willing to seek God for his good hand to be upon us, for that right way. How are we going to know the right way for this year? How are we going to know how to respond to smoking firebrands? Or whatever may come into the world, whatever may happen to the United Kingdom this year, Brexit, no Brexit, hard Brexit, clean Brexit, soft Brexit, whatever kind of Brexit you like, really, cooked one. I don't know, how are we going to respond to it all? Friends, the Lord can show us that right way, can't he? But we need to seek him for it. That is to be the response of our heart. So though there are dangers, though that we may go through a wilderness and periods of difficulty and testing and challenge, friends, there is a glory at the end of it. I mean, let me give you an example of somebody else who was willing to go something of this kind of principle. She was a beautiful young lady. And her job, amongst other things, was not a very attractive one, really. In fact, it demanded a lot of hard work. And her job was to water camels. particularly to visitors, and some one day a camel came along, a visitor came along with camels, and the camels needed to be watered. And so she said, give me a vessel, would you like me to give your camels a drink, etc. She was carrying on her life, but the Lord was preparing her, and unknown to her, God was choosing that moment, that time, to draw her to be the wife of Isaac, Abraham's son, and therefore to come right into the purposes of God. Friends, she hadn't a clue what she was doing then. She hadn't a clue why she was being prepared, but she was willing for the preparation. And then, when she understands something of the call of God to marry a man that she'd never seen before, she says, I'll go. Friends, it's tremendous. She's got no idea of the journey. She'd not. Ladies, would you marry a man that you never clapped eyes on? Perhaps some of you would. Perhaps it would be better if you'd take the risk. better than the guy you do know. Anyway, never mind. Friends, it's the same principle. She didn't know, and yet she was willing. She was willing. Friends, be willing. God has got such purposes, but he calls us to trust him. Be willing to leave whatever is necessary behind. Well, finally, and a bit more briefly, what are the results of all this? What are the results of Ezra and the people obeying this decree? Four things. Chapter 7 and verse 13. I beg your pardon, verse 23. Blessing. No, it's not. I can't find the right verse. Never mind. Well, there's tremendous blessing. but actually, at the end of verse 23 of chapter 7, there's something there. You see, the king recognized that in the purpose of God for the temple and the people of God going back to Israel, there was also going to be blessing on the realm of the king and of his sons. I think that's tremendous. The blessing that is going to come to the community round here, and certainly to the rest of the United Kingdom, the blessing that's going to come to the community round here is going to depend, to some extent, at any rate, on how faithful we are here at Bethel Christian Assembly. The blessing that's going to come to your workplace is going to depend on your walk with the Lord, friend, as an individual. And the blessing, or not, that we will know in the UK this year will depend to a very large extent on the faithfulness of the Church of God this year. Chapter 8 and verse 36, the last verse. They delivered the king's commissions to the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side of the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God. The people were furthered, they were supported, and the purposes of God went forward. So friends, let's pray that this year that the hand of God would remain on us, and that we would be willing for the journey. And I finish with asking the same question, really. Are you willing to take that journey? As an individual, are you willing to start it? Are you willing to go on with the Lord? Are you willing on this first day of the first month, it says in Ezra 7, at the start of this year, to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to go on this journey with you, whatever it takes, and thank you that you can give me everything that I need to carry me through the year. Shall we pray, please?